You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. All right, and everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
Unacceptable in all areas. Unacceptable coaching, unacceptable playing, unacceptable effort. Not what we're about.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really. You know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
Like I said, coach our kids to do the right thing. And, you know, play with poise, play with confidence, play with dignity, play with class. At the same time, we're not going to take anyone's shit either.
We want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless football team that nobody in the SEC wants to play.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't like getting it. It's the only time we're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
All I want to do is fucking eat! I want you to eat! I want you to eat! I want you to want this shit! Do you want it? Do you want it? Show me!
Bunchin' and did it again!
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, Shane, doing good over here? You know, Shane, it's been a while since we've talked a little hot seat.
Uh-oh.
I didn't think we'd have to do it this early in the season, Shane. But we gotta do this, Shane, because what happens when a season starts going sideways, Shane? Those coaches, when it really starts to go downhill on them, you get the dreaded vote of confidence. And we're 4 games into the 2019 season, Shane. We've already got 2 ADs out here speaking about the fact that their coaches are not going to get fired. That typically comes right before those coaches get fired. So let's jump to these clips. But first, we'll do our little hot seat intro here.
Oh my God, we're burning alive!
Fire!
Damn hot, real hot. Hotter than this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking.
Well, can you tell me what it feels like?
Fool, what is hot? I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot.
All right, Shane, this first clip's a little bit shorter. I think this guy's, I don't know how to tell which seat's hotter here, but let's just go with Chad Morris. Shane, obviously, fans very disappointed with San Jose State. I mean, we've been talking about it all week. Everybody knows the story. The signs of progress, not quite there yet, Shane. He's yet to beat an SEC opponent, and I really don't think Chad Morris should be fired at this point. If they go winless in the SEC once again, I think that's a different conversation. I think you really have to evaluate it at that point. But old Hunter Yurecich, the AD there in Arkansas, he went on a little bit of a speaking tour this week, Shane, and he was not asked point blank about Chad Morris's job security until after he got off the podium, and here's what he had to say.
So at this point, there's been no conversations about, Chad Morris coaching for his job, coordinators, any changes at all coming to the coaching staff?
Absolutely not.
All right, Shane, so there you have it. Chad Morris safe, according to Yurecich. And, you know, I don't know how much stock you put into stuff like this, Shane, but it was interesting. I didn't get to confirm this, but I saw it. Someone sent me a photo. This AD is very active on Twitter. Apparently someone, you know, tagged Yurecich on Twitter and said something like, hell, you could have picked someone out of the stands and they would have coached better than Chad Morris did in this one. And he liked the tweet. Now, he quickly unliked it because, like I said, I went and checked his Twitter and it's not there anymore. So, I mean, he was pretty fired up. He's been saying all week how Arkansas had no business losing this San Jose State. I know he's pretty committed to his coach based on what he had to say here, but I don't know. How hot do you think Chad Morris's seat is after 4 games into his second season?
Well, I'm not going to read too much into liked tweets, you know? I mean, it's a game. It's a thumbs game, Mike. You know, you're scrolling, and sometimes you may accidentally hit something, and you quickly undo it. So I'm not going to read too much into that. But I don't know about this hot seat talk, you know, because something that you mentioned, you know, this is something that ADs come out and say, hey, he's got his job, he's safe. And then next thing you know, they're like, ah, we got a committee, you know. We fired him. We've promoted so-and-so up as the new interim head coach. So, I mean, you see this. But I just don't – what you don't see is a coach getting fired in year two. And now I could understand if it's a program like Alabama or Georgia or even Florida. Some of these teams that have 8, 9, 10 win seasons – and then all of a sudden they're sitting there at, you know, with 2 wins on the season or something like that. Mm-hmm. I could see a 2-year coach getting fired, but not Arkansas, man. I mean, Arkansas started at the bottom. So they're not going to spend all that money unless it's just a flat out embarrassment, which it's trending that way. I'm not saying at the end of the season they won't make this decision, but I can't see them firing Coach Morris anytime during this season, unless it's just, you know, so, like Jim McElwain coming out talking about death threats or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just, like I said, it's going to be tough for him if he goes winless in the SEC, 2 consecutive SEC winless seasons. Not saying that's definitely going to happen. Let's wait and see how they respond. I understand why fans overreact, but that San Jose State loss, I know it was horrible. But I think damn near every SEC team, if they throw 5 interceptions in a game, they could lose a game to an FBS opponent. That obviously is what happened. Not excusing it, but I'm just saying if the quarterback doesn't throw 5 interceptions, and they had a chance to win that game at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think the wheels are coming off quite yet. I think I'm just reading between the lines here, Shane. I think this team got a little ahead of itself after beating Colorado State. They didn't think they really had to prepare for this San Jose State. Looking ahead to Texas A&M, we'll find out on Saturday if they've got any pride left in them.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump over to the other AD, Shane, who had to go on a local radio station here. This is Ray Tanner saying Will Muschamp is safe in Columbia.
Oh, absolutely. And I do own it. I mean, I'm very fond of Will Muschamp. I'm very fond of his coaches. I have great respect for the organization that they've put together. I believe in them now as much as I did when they came here. Would we prefer to be 4-0 versus 1-3 right now? Absolutely. But yes, I'm very much a part of this. I understand that. I accept it. It goes with the job. I'm in a conference that I think now I'm the 3rd longest tenured athletics director in the room.
Hmm.
And there's some other guys not in there because their football situation hadn't been all that great at times. So I understand it. I take responsibility in any way that anybody wants to dish it out. I'm certainly part of the process, and I feel very good about where we are. Again, no, we're not happy we're 1-3, but I believe in our coach who's running the program. I believe in what I see, and I believe that we're going to be in a good place. The expectations are great. We understand that. And, you know, I look today doing a little research and looking at some things. I think as we sit here today, Coach Muschamp and Coach Spurrier have the same number of wins at the same point in time in history as of today. And the coach up the road has 4 or 5 more at the same point in time. So the sky's not falling.
All right, Shane. So this one I think is a little bit different in my opinion. I understand South Carolina fans very upset, 1-3, inexcusable. And, you know, that's because they're only as mad as they are because they care about the Gamecocks. They want them to be good. And so many are out on Will Muschamp at the moment. I think he's got a chance to win them back. And I also think, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to South Carolina because they deserve better than this. But I think you got to be careful at a school like South Carolina. If you're firing coaches left and right, if it can happen to Tennessee, if it can happen to Arkansas, you better believe it can happen at South Carolina. And it's not like you're getting blown up your doors off like you are at Tennessee. You are a couple years into this Will Muschamp tenure. It's not going as expected, but it's not the disaster he inherited. It still seems like they're a step up from that. I don't think they're a cellar dweller in the SEC East. And unless they reach that point, I think you got to bring Will Muschamp back. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. Let me ask you this, because we're talking 2 different situations here. We got Morris, if he loses out, and Muschamp loses out. Not saying these teams are going to, but let's just say hypothetically they do.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think Muschamp is definitely more likely to get fired than Morris. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because we're, what, year four with Muschamp?
Right.
There's higher expectations. He's playing with his guys now, so he can't pull a Morris and say, well, you know, I inherited this, and we're trying to change the culture. We're building from the ground up. You can't do that because you've already established your foundation over there in South Carolina. And here we are year four, and it feels like we're moving backwards. So I'm a little more worried about the situation in South Carolina, believe it or not, than I am in Arkansas, just because of that fact that this is something that he's been moving forward with the offense. You know, he brought in his new coordinator that, you know, that was a concern. And then Muschamp was going to take over the defense. And then, you know, now you got all your pressure on your freshman quarterback, and they had high expectations coming into both seasons, this season and last season, and they're just not coming through. Now, I know they got a tough schedule, but, you know, when they lose, it's embarrassing.
Well, yeah, but when you say it like that, if they lose every game, I think all these coaches would get fired if they lost every game the rest of the way. What I'm trying to say is, I know South Carolina's a pitiful record right now, 1-3. But I think when we look back at the season's end, that North Carolina loss will haunt him. But Alabama's, you know, they're going to be right in the playoff race all year. Missouri, mm-hmm. I think, is going to win 9 or 10 games. I don't think that's a horrible loss. And I just think by the end of the season, if you're 6-6, 7-5, something like that, I think he could be way, way worse. Like, I don't think South Carolina fans should be saying, well, my God, we should be 9 or 10 win team. I know, hey, I was a guy out there saying it could happen, but that should be the expectations every year at South Carolina. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that, I don't think it's as bad as they think it is. But I understand why they think it's bad, because it's 1-3 right now. That, like I said, that's inexcusable. But, you know, you're going to hit bumps on the road, and as long as he continues to recruit, they got Hilinski. I mean, they've got some pieces to build around here, and I don't know. I just don't think the wheels have come off here for Muschamp.
No, I don't want to go full panic mode, you know. But, you know, Charleston Southern's the only team that they did beat. North Carolina, they should have beat North Carolina. I mean, that's when they got behind the eight ball, man.
Right.
If we're sitting here at 2-2, and, you know, we're not – I mean, we're upset as South Carolina fans, because you really think you should have had the Missouri game. You thought maybe you could have played Alabama a little bit closer. But I don't think we're in full-blown panic just yet. But we're still getting into the teeth of the schedule. So that's why I'm concerned. It's not – not like the path gets any easier up there in South Carolina. You look at Arkansas' schedule and you compare it to South Carolina's schedule, it's two different sides of the coin, man. And yeah, South Carolina's got some tough teams coming up. And if we're not seeing the development, if we're not seeing progression with South Carolina, I think we're going to just keep getting more and more disappointed.
Yeah, and last thing I got here on South Carolina, Shane, I think you make a good point. I think the thing that's really haunting Muschamp right now is the fact his team keeps losing games where we pick them to win. And I'm mm-hmm. not talking about you and I. I'm talking Gamecock fans. You know, you expect to win at this game, and you lose it. Now, the only way to make up for that is he's got to win a game, not like this Kentucky game. I mean, I feel like, once again, he should win that one. He's got to beat a team like a Florida or a Georgia or a Clemson, where hardly anyone's going to be picking them. That's how he wins them back. And I still think this team, as long as they don't kill themselves, I think they have a chance to do that.
Dude, they got the weapons, man. I mean, Edwards and Smith, they're the two of my favorite receivers. And if they could figure it out, and I think Hilinski's the future of South Carolina. I'm still sold on that. I really do think that last week was more of a fluke and based off some injuries and things like that. But if they get smoked by Kentucky, dude, you think they're mad now. That's one of those games you're talking about. South Carolina fans are expecting to beat Kentucky. Kentucky fans are expecting to beat South Carolina. Somebody's going to be upset after this thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, so we got a couple teams to hit on here. Not the full around the league, but semi around the league. You ready to do it?
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league. Around the league.
We hadn't decided how we're going to play the guys, so I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week. All our play. I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, just hear it over and over, and you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice. So you just get used to it. And it's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's gonna be a street fight. This game's gonna be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully, you do. And you go back to it, man. This isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat. Launch bail. Let's get to work.
All right, Shane, let's start here in Gainesville. We've not been trying to ignore the Gators this week, but the, you know, the fact is they're playing Towson. I know that's a top 10 FCS team and maybe a little bit better competition than Tennessee put out there on Saturday, but not a whole lot to talk about on this game. And I think that's even something that Dan Mullen faced this week during his press conference. He was asked on, you know, how much his team will be looking past this team to a potential top 10 matchup with Auburn coming to town next weekend. That's obviously going to be a one hell of a game. But I thought the most interesting thing maybe in the entire SEC, Shane, came from Dan Mullen this week when he was asked about the schedule and the fact they're playing two FCS teams, and he took it in a different direction, talking about how the SEC, you know, they really need to do something about the scheduling just for the sake of the players.
As cliche as it sounds, you're a week away from a top 10 matchup. How do you keep the guys kind of focused this week, and is this almost a bigger test to stay focused this week than next week?
Well, the focus, the key to the game, the key to anything, we talked about our team, to the team this week. Obviously, there'll be a lot more hype on next week's game, you know, a national hype. It'll be the CBS game of the week. And but for us to even have an opportunity to win that game, we have got to improve this week. You know, it's one of those things. You look at the steps we took. I thought we took some really good steps. I thought we played a lot better against Tennessee than we had in the previous weeks. Okay. And, you know, that had a lot to do with because we practiced better that week. You know, we took care of a little bit, you know, our scout teams executed a little bit cleaner. Offensive and defense finished plays of practice a little bit better. Thought we did an amazing job with our Friday night and early Saturday morning quick, you know, even though it was a quick turnaround, the preparation going into the game of guys really honing in on their routine and getting ready to go perform on a Saturday. If we don't continue to take a step forward with that this week, it'll show. And it'll show not just this week, it'll show the week at the next week and the week after that and the week after that and the week after that as you continue to move forward. So I think that's such been – that's the message for the guys is you can't – you know, I mean, we have great goals for this season for the team, and they all include continually improving from one week to the next. And that's got to be the focus. And, you know, I'm focusing on what's important, right? You know, what's important is am I getting better as a player? Okay. And I don't want to downplay this week's game or next week's game, because if you ask me that question next week and saying you're a week off from another top 10 matchup, this one on the road, is it harder to stay focused? No, it's on our exact attention to detail and our development and our improvement from one day to the next of getting better. And that's what we can control, and that's what we need to worry about. And if we're worried about other things, we're worried about the wrong thing, and we're not going to be able to accomplish the goals we have as a team.
Towson is seems like a very quality program, but it's two FCS teams in 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think one's enough per season? I mean, Scott and Dustin was saying that's probably
I think one. You look, I mean, I don't know this. I wasn't involved in this year's schedule. I think there's a lot of things with schedule that I know. I've talked to Scott. We're trying to play more Power Five teams. You know, people aren't jumping up and down to play us. You know, I mean, we're calling Power Five teams and trying to get more games, and it's not like, hey, everybody we call can't wait to come play Florida. You know, so that's not always an easy deal. But I know for our fans, I think it is fun to play some bigger games. You know, I mean, and in the future, I think that's something we're going to look at, is trying to play more Power Five games within the league. I think we should mix up the league schedule more, to be perfectly honest with you. You know what I mean? I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State 1. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, you know, play more teams from the West. And get the opportunity to play more SEC games, to come play in this league and play in those games. Or conference games are a lot of fun, playing other SEC teams. So I think moving forward, scheduling-wise, obviously conference, we don't control that, but I think that'd be a heck of a deal, and I know we're working to try to play more Power 5 teams.
All right, Shane, this is a popular off-season topic, and I think Dan Mullen hit the nail on the head here. It just doesn't make any sense. I know there's rivalries where, you know, they're going to play Florida State every year. They're going to play Miami now every so few years. But the Gators never see Mississippi State, hardly ever. And I know there's plenty of other games like that. Texas A&M and Georgia, that's a popular one that always comes up. I mean, this is going to be the first year those teams have ever met as SEC foes. I appreciate Dan Mullen bringing this up when other coaches kind of won't touch on it. But it's good to see at least, you know, one of the veteran coaches of this league is advocating for the scheduling to kind of change up here.
No, I like it, man. You know, I don't like playing two FCS teams. I get that. Dan didn't set that schedule, so you can't blame him for that. But you can blame Florida. They scheduled it years ago. It doesn't, you know what I'm saying? This thing, you should never play two FCS teams. They should be Power Fives, and I get that it's kind of hard to set these things up, especially if you don't want to do a home and home type situation. So I get that side. But I really appreciate the fact that he's open to opening up the SEC. Now, I know there's some hardcore people that listen to this podcast that do not like change. But it's true, man. There's no reason you should play Southern Florida. Is that what he said? Southern Florida three times and Mississippi State once?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That should never happen. You should be playing more West teams than non-opponents in your conference. So I'm all for it, man. I'm all for an open schedule, and it's gonna piss some people off, you know, with some of these games like third Saturday in October. But I think it is fair for the players to play other conferences, go to home and homes, you know, even if it does involve increasing the amount of SEC games you play during a regular season. There's got to be some sort of fix, man.
Yeah, this is the only issue I have when they went to 14 teams. It's almost like they just didn't think of this, or they didn't think it out thoroughly to have the schedule like this, because it's just, I don't know, it just doesn't even make sense. I mean, Texas A&M and Georgia, it's like they're not even in the same conference, you know what?
It's so true, man.
Final thing here on the Gators, Shane, I just wanted to add this little note, because there were some speculation that Brenton Cox, the transfer from Georgia, got his waiver and would be cleared. Dan Mullen was asked about that on Wednesday. He said that is not accurate. No update on Brenton Cox. Still waiting to hear back from the NCAA. And I never thought that waiver would be realistic. Not saying it's going to be denied, but it just seems weird that it took, you know, it's taken 9-10 months for some of these guys. And this kid is, just a few weeks removed from leaving Georgia. I don't know how quickly that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it happens. Do you?
No.
Yeah.
All right, Shane, let's jump on down to Athens. Well, Kirby Smart and his Bulldogs are on a bye week after beating Notre Dame. I thought this was kind of interesting because, you know, I was a little critical of Jake Fromm. And on the rewatch, I think a little bit more critical on James Coley for Georgia's kind of offensive performance here. And I just thought it was interesting. Kirby Smart kind of put the blame on the fact that they didn't really get the plays to him fast enough. I thought this was kind of an interesting comment. I mean, I could see once or twice, maybe that's what he's talking about, critical situations. But you'd think after it happened once, they'd get on it a little bit quicker. but this is what truly makes Jake Fromm such a weapon. And, of course, because the Bulldogs are on a bye week, I thought I would include this little clip of Kirby Smart talking about what his players need to focus on during their off week.
You didn't let Jake do what he does best, which is...
No, I didn't say that. I think you misquoted. What I said was that we didn't get the call to him fast enough so that he could do what he does best. And it came out that we didn't let him do what he does best. We didn't get the call to him fast enough. So we got to do a better job of getting the call to him so he can do that. Because when you're down on the play clock, it doesn't give him enough time to do that. And that's what he does well. And we had two or three times that, I mean, I bet you he had the call with 11 or 12 seconds left, and that's not enough time.
I was going to ask why the plays came in later than typical.
Just didn't do a good job getting them in. I mean, it's not like we're by design. I mean, two of them, they got in early enough. Just the communication was crossed up between the signal and the formation, and he fixed it. I mean, like I said after the game, he makes things that are wrong right, and he fixed them. But when you add that time in to the time the play was signaled in, it doesn't leave a lot of time on the play clock.
When you've got a week like this and you've got, you know, some young players, you're talking about your wideouts wanting to be more well-rounded and things like that, do you sit down with those guys and have that kind of one-on-one conversation to be like, hey, this is a big week, you know, got some things we want to get accomplished like that, or do you just kind of just let it play out?
No, we give every player on the team 3 to 4 notes of what they got to get better at. Every coach is assigned their players to say, here's your 3 target areas you got to improve on. Might be special teams for one guy, might be depth of routes, might be block. I mean, it's very specific because we want them to have a purpose in practice this week. If you're not careful, you're like, what am I doing out here? You know, I'm just like treading water. No, we don't want to do that. We want to get better. We want to have target areas get better. Offense had 3 goals. Defense had 3 goals today. And we'll continue to work on those. Special teams had 3 goals. And we got to improve because we got whipped on special teams the other night.
All right, Shane. So when I said Jake Fromm, you know, this is how you maximize his talents and his knowledge and what have you. This is why you want a seasoned veteran quarterback that is efficient, because a guy like Jake Fromm, you know, let's just use Helinski as an example. We think the world of him, but how much can he really, you know, read the defense and switch a play and have everybody lined up correctly? It's just unrealistic to have him do all that. But Jake Fromm, he can manipulate all those things because he's been there, he's done that. He's like a coach on the field. He's got more experience in Athens than some of these coaches. And I think, kind of like Kirby Smart said, that kind of makes sense. I think they kind of didn't utilize that against Notre Dame, and that's something they've really got to switch that up moving forward if they're going to beat some of these teams like Auburn on the road.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, you got to take advantage of what you got down there with Fromm. I mean, just think about just this Saturday alone, how many first-time quarterbacks they're going to be playing in the SEC, you know, that didn't play last year, that don't have the experience. Because, you know, they're trying to sponge up all the playbook and the routes and the defensive looks and all that. But, you know, something when you've got all that licked, you've got it down pat, this is where the next level quarterbacks come in, where they're able to see stuff before it happens. They're able to change plays, you know, because that play clock goes by pretty quick when you're out there and your anxiety's amped and you know your blood's flowing and stuff. So Fromm's able to slow the game down, and I really like what he said. You know, make the corrections, fix the mistakes. Think about it. How many mistakes Fromm was able to fix, and you not even know? It just looked like a normal play there at Georgia.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane. Final thing on the Bulldogs, and this has to do with the next team we're going to hit on. But I don't know if you saw this, Shane. I want to get your reaction as our resident Tennessee homer here. And I don't know how serious this is, but there are fans online, Georgia fans, planning to checkerboard Neyland red and black for October 5th, Saturday, coming up in a week and a half here. Thoughts on these Bulldogs, Shane, wanting to checker Neyland?
Kiss my ass. That's what I say. We only giving them 12,000 tickets. How are they going to do it? You know, I don't know how many tickets we're giving them, but I don't know. This is, you know, this isn't Vanderbilt, Tennessee. You know, I'm giving a hard time, and I'm not trying to bash any university right now, but it's one thing to take over another school like Vanderbilt. No offense to Vandy, but we all know that it's tough for them to build up a home crowd. You saw it last week with LSU. Mm-hmm. You saw it during the Georgia game. You know, so I think maybe that's where it's coming from. But Tennessee's different, man. It's a different animal. The fans still love going to the games, even though we're not in a great spot. You know, they said we had 80,000 during the Chattanooga game. So, right. I mean, you think about that. Tennessee, Chattanooga, 80,000 fans, which is, you know, the size of a lot of stadiums in the country. So I don't think that they're going to have enough fans to fill those seats, man. It's going to be predominantly orange and white because it's going to be a home game. Do I think there'll be a lot of Georgia fans there? Absolutely. Probably more than usual, you know, but there's just no way they're going to have enough numbers in there to checker Neyland, even though it's kind of funny when you think about it.
But that is one thing, Shane, for all of Tennessee's turmoil, everything that's gone wrong there, the last thing anyone can say, and it bothers me when they try to throw this out there because they're dead wrong and they just look like a dumbass, but the fans are not the problem. The fans keep showing up. This is some terrible football they're getting treated to, but they keep showing up and they keep supporting their team. And I mean, you look around the country, teams like Florida State right now, I think they had the lowest attendance they've ever had. And guess what, Shane? I mean, they got the same record as Tennessee. You know what I mean? So the Tennessee fans, they're still in it to win it. They're just waiting for this team to get better.
You know, it's funny. Just side note here. I was over at a grocery store. We've got a Food City here. All right. And I'm sitting there at Food City. My wife's in there getting some groceries. I'm sitting out there. I'm listening to the radio. And there was a van there. It was WIVK, which is a local radio station here in Tennessee. And they got this little thing set up, and they're selling shirts. And they're like, I don't know what the shirts are saying, but there's orange shirts, there's white shirts. So I'm sure it's Tennessee football related. And here we are in the midst of one of the worst seasons we've ever had. And I watched two people buy orange shirts over there. You know, it's just, that's just who we are. We're, and that's like that at a lot of schools. You know, it's not just Tennessee. It's all these schools. I mean, people are still buying cowbells when Mississippi State's not good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's people still going to Kentucky games when they're down and out. You know, this Arkansas, we're giving them a hard time, but man, they're still having a blast on Saturday. You know, they know that it all eventually comes around. There was a time when Georgia was not good, okay? I was talking to my buddy the other day. I think it was, what, in the early – was it 2000? No, it's 90s. Yeah, 95, 96, somewhere around there. I mean, they had a couple six-win seasons, and, you know, Georgia's been down too. Alabama's been down too. There are these powerhouses. They eventually, at some point in their life – we pray to God that it switched back and then we're back on top of the pecking order. But that's the nature of football, man.
All right, Shane. Well, let's jump down there to Rocky Top, where Jeremy Pruitt met with the media here recently. And I thought two things kind of stood out from what he had to say. I think you'd appreciate this, Shane, his comments on the quarterback situation and giving, you know, equal reps to these guys during the bye, and on the confidence level of his team after this terrible start they've had there on Rocky Top.
Jeremy, you said that the quarterback position is no different than every other position on the team. So have the reps changed at all, though, this week in terms of Jarrett, Brian, and JT? Has it kind of been status quo of what it was through the first month of the season?
No, I think we have to change the reps, okay? We have to do that, you know, and it's no secrets. There's no secrets anymore. You know, we've got to get better production out of that position, just like we do all of them. And so we've got to give these guys an opportunity, and this is a good chance to do that this week.
And what has that looked like, I guess, then through the first 2 days thus far?
Everybody gets the same amount of reps.
Jeremy, you have a lot of players on your team that have been in the program for a number of years that have not had a lot of success. Do you think right now you have a team that simply does not play with much confidence?
Well, here's the thing. To me, when we lose a game, doesn't matter wherever I've ever coached, it hurts, okay? Hadn't been used to losing very many of them, but it hurts pretty bad, okay? I think sometimes you can get numb to losing. If it happens over and over again, maybe you get used to it. And that's something that there's lots of guys in our program that aren't used to losing, okay, and it hurts them, all right? But I'm not saying the guys in our program are that way, but I do think that can happen, you know. So I can tell you this, all right, our football team, I've said all along that I like this group of guys. All right, the guys work extremely hard, okay. You know, there's lots of things. We need to coach them up better, okay? We need to play a little better. We need to be a little more opportunistic on both sides of the ball. We don't need to shoot ourselves in the foot. But our guys are working hard, and they'll continue to do that. I don't see any quit in this group. These guys, I think, are fighters. you know. So we got to keep them healthy so they give it, they have a chance to fight. And that's one of the things this week we've trying to make sure in our improvement that we give them enough reps to improve, but at the same time don't go out there and lose five guys in one day where we don't have enough guys to play.
All right, Shane, so based on what Pruitt had to say, I mean, if Garantano does not practice well, if one of these other guys outperforms him, you know, as unrealistic as it may have seemed entering the season, I think there's an outstanding chance Garantano does not start against Georgia if he gets essentially beat out this week and the following week there as they prep for the Bulldogs. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first off, Mike, I'm pretty numb to those losses too, you know. Like I said, the third one after you get that one, you don't feel it so much, which is a stupid question, a dumb question. I don't know who asked it, but you shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, back to the quarterbacks. You know, I like the open competition, you know. If worst case scenario, if it gets Garantano somewhere, you know, if he's the guy, if he knows that, I mean, we done pulled him once, not twice, you know, he's got pulled to the side. So I'm hoping maybe that sparks a little bit. But if not, then I'm ready to give these young guys a shot, because why not? That's where we're at right now. We're sitting there at 1-3. These fans are upset because of that Garantano's play. I want to see some quarterbacking out there. And like I was telling you the other day, I don't care if they get it picked off. You know what I'm saying? Eventually it's going to happen. Seriously, I just want to see somebody throw the ball down the field. I don't want to see more wide receiver screens or anything like that. I want to see him stretch the play, stretch the ball, and you know, we get onto the running backs for not having these the stats that they should. Well, they're all why? Why did they need to? They need to get an 8-9 man in the box because we can't throw the ball. So I don't know. I'm getting fired up again, Mike. Let me just say this: I'm glad there's quarterback competition. But I don't want this thing to linger all year. I don't want to bounce it around between two or three quarterbacks. If we see something, a spark off one of these guys, I hope we'll cling to it. We'll give them all the first reps and just run them the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. All right, final note here on the Vols, Shane. Two linebackers, Will Ignat, Shannon Reed, and receiver Jacquez Jones have all left the team, according to Pruitt. They're all in the NCAA transfer portal. And these are all Butch Jones guys that got passed over on the depth chart. But, you know, you hate to lose depth. But sometimes I think, you know, if you're not – it's one of those deals where if you're not with the team, I think it kind of hurts that you're sticking around. That's just kind of my two cents on those.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of here, you know. Get out of here, that nonsense. Like Tom Cruise and that, who's coming with me, you know. Just go. Take your goldfish and get out of here.
All right, final team to hit on here, Shane. Let's jump on down to Baton Rouge, where the Tigers are also on a bye week this week. But they got good news because they got old Ed Ingram back in the lineup, Shane. And I thought this was kind of interesting. Coach O said the team was really fired up, obviously, to get him back. But the most interesting thing, he thinks Ed Ingram could see the field for their next game against Utah State. So I thought that was noteworthy. We'll jump to that clip in just a second. And then on, we also have another clip I thought was pretty great, Shane. LSU fans, they drank Vanderbilt Stadium dry, according to Derek Mason.
They all cheered for him when we announced that he was back today. So I think it gives us a sense of confidence up front and a sense that we can do some things up front with other guys and give us more depth.
I don't know if my stadium's ever run out of beer before. I mean, you know, man, I try not to keep up with those side notes, but man, if it did, I hope it did. But if it did, okay, we got a problem. This is Nashville, but when it's all said and done, I think for where we are nowadays, I don't think any stadium should find itself running out of beer.
All right, Shane, so those LSU fans, they know how to party. They came up to Nashville last weekend. They did it right. Thoughts on Ed Ingram? Potentially, you know, he's been out of the lineup for over a year. Could start here. Or not start, but play for the Tigers. That's pretty interesting.
Man, that's big, Mike. That's big news. And, you know, I'm just kind of wondering what kind of shape Ed's in. You know, he was a big guy last year, a big guy this year, I'm sure. But it's different when it's a wide receiver taking a couple extra months off and Big Ed here, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I wonder how long before he's actually game ready.
And my other thing here about LSU, Shane, I didn't know you were down at this LSU game here at Vanderbilt. You helped drink them dry, I'd say.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah, it's good for them.
All right, Shane. So that's all the news I got around the league, but I think we got a mailbag question or two, don't we?
Yeah, let's get to the mailbag.
All right, Shane. Our first question here comes from a longtime listener from Kentucky, our boy Ollie. And he actually sent in a video clip. We're going to play you the audio. He sent in the audio, Shane. Let's kick it over to Ollie.
Hey, cousin Shane. This is Ollie, and I wanted to ask you a question about today's podcast. You got pretty spicy about Chad Morris down there in Arkansas. I wanted to ask you, if you had the opportunity as a Tennessee fan, would you change coaches with Jeremy Pruitt and Chad Morris, given that Arkansas is 2-2 versus Tennessee is 1-3, and both programs have a bad loss, San Jose State and Georgia State? You just seem a lot more critical of Chad Morris versus Jeremy Pruitt. I wanted to get your opinion on that. Thanks, man.
All right, Shane, so we really appreciate this question, and this was a unique way to send it to us. I was thinking this was so cool. If anyone else wants to send us stuff like this, hell, we'll just start doing mailbags like this. It's pretty unique, but what's your answer to this question here?
Look at Ollie starting a trend. That's right. We're going to try to get to mailbags every Thursday here. So, yeah, if you got them, send them in Monday through Wednesday. We'll try to include it on these Thursday things. So that's pretty cool. But to answer Ollie's question, all right, a lot of people want to know why I'm so hard on Morris and not so hard on my boy Jeremy Pruitt. I done forgot his name there for a second. All right. Sorry, the beers are kicking in, Mike. All right, here's the deal, Mike. I like Pruitt. I like what he's bring. You know, I love the staff. I don't know if I'm just reading into it, but I really like what he has assembled up here. And it seems like we are in a better place than we were last year. Even though the wins aren't there, it feels like as a team, as a whole, that we're in a better situation. We just got a bad apple. We do not have a quarterback. Now, on the other side, now, I'm not saying that's the only thing. I mean, Tennessee's got a lot of holes, a lot of gaping holes that we need to work on. But it just feels like I have confidence in this staff to get there. Morris, on the other hand, I don't like the situation just because of the way, honestly, he pissed me off with the quarterback play. And here Tennessee has an open quarterback play. But going into the season, we knew who the best quarterback was. The nation knew who the best quarterback was, and he refused to put the best quarterback in until they were already behind the eight ball. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that one frustrates me because it felt like it showed me what kind of coach we're dealing with. Now, you look over here back to Pruitt. He knows we've got a quarterback situation. So what does he do? He opens it up, man. He's got three guys taking the same amount of reps this week. He knows he's got a problem. He's addressing it. We got kids coming off the team, off the Butch Jones era. You know, again, they're not buying into the culture. He got rid of them. You go back to Morris, he kind of did a similar thing. You know, if you're either with us or you're not, you know, and a couple people left, a couple people came back. But it just feels like Tennessee is moving slowly, more slow than I would want, in the right direction. We're still getting the recruits coming in. We're building a foundation here at Tennessee in a second year of Pruitt. I just don't know about the foundation in Arkansas right now.
Mm-hmm. And how about this thought, Shana? Because this kind of has occurred to me when I noticed, you know, I don't watch a lot of SMU football, but they are on the verge of being ranked in the new polls. So they never even had a winning record when Chad Morris was there. So yeah. It sounds like they're getting better. And then, you know, all this hype, Chad Morris coming from Clemson, and they're this dynasty and all this, but they were not that good when he was there. And they got better when he left. And I'm not saying that he's, you know, a terrible coach or anything. I don't think he's terrible, but it just is interesting to me how all these places get better when he leaves. I mean, I think that says something about his recruiting. He's probably a very good recruiter. We've already seen that at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be some, obviously he's not, you know, Ed Orgeron, Ole Miss, but he may be like in a different package, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where he brings in the talent, and then it's got to be the next coach that lifts Arkansas to new heights. I don't know. That's kind of the read I'm getting there. Whereas Jeremy Pruitt, you know, he's still learning on the job. I don't think he's doing obviously that good of a job, but I just think they're relying on so many sophomore and freshman players.
Yeah.
Some of their most veteran players are true sophomores. And that's not an excuse for losing to Georgia State and teams like that. They should have beat them, should have beat BYU. But, I mean, I kind of saw these 34-3 coming against on the road against Florida. I mean, it's going to be just like that, I think, against Georgia and Alabama. But what they've got to do, they got to get these guys up and ready to play against the rest of the SEC. And they were able to do it last year. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it this year, but I don't know. It does seem that he's still learning on the job. He's not, I'm not saying he's a great coach, but head coach. I think he's still learning that aspect of it. But I could see a brighter future once he has the pieces and the experience on his roster that he has essentially what he's going up against all across the SEC.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And again, you got to remember, as a Tennessee fan, I'm taking the fan perspective here. This isn't our first replacement coach. You know, think about it. We went through Pruitt, we went through Butch, we went through Dooley, we went through Lane and Fulmer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just exhausted up here, man. Yeah, it's just like, we don't want a coaching search because nobody would want to come here right now. You know, if we're replacing a coach every 2-3 years, then who the hell wants to go to that university? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Arkansas is okay. Yes. Did Brett not work out? Yeah. Brett didn't work out. He had a couple of decent seasons, but things didn't work out. But it felt like Arkansas had better opportunities out there, and they went down here. This feels like a Dooley-esque top hire, you know, where we went in and we went to Louisiana and pulled out Derek Dooley and said, well, you know, he's got the pedigree. He's been around, you know, his dad's awesome. We're going to bring him up here. You know, it feels like that with Morris. Well, you know, he worked with old Dabo over there. You know, it feels like this is a good move. You know, he's a new coach. He's got a lot of pep in his step. He loves to recruit out of Texas. So I think this is going to be a good pick. I don't think this hire was thought through. I don't, you know, nothing against Morris. He hasn't had the opportunity to prove me right or wrong. You know, this is his second season. He had a hell of a recruiting class. We know he can recruit, but can he take that talent, develop it and put it on the field? That's something I don't know. We're not going to know for a couple more years. And maybe that's why SMU is real good, because after he left, all his talent's down there. So I don't want to bury Morris. He's done some questionable things. So has Jeremy Pruitt, but it just feels like the pieces are, there's a lot more going forward with Tennessee moving forward that maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm a homer and I'm just buying into it. They're sending me all this propaganda and I'm getting this bad info and I'm just brainwashed at this point. I don't know. I just like the coaching staff. I love the young talent that we do have. I love the recruits that we have committed. I think that we're moving in the right direction. We're just not getting the wins on the field. And I don't know if that's because Pruitt's never done it and it's taken a while to grasp the life of a head coach. And same thing with Morris. He can recruit, but I'm just not seeing the development of the players over there. I would rather see development and no wins than no development and barely winning. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, I got you, Shane. All right, Shane, before we hop off here, I think we got a couple reviews, right?
Yeah, buddy. Go ahead and roll that wonderful music, Mike.
All right.
Thank you for being a friend. All right, first one comes from Hammering Down. Awesome name. Great pod. 5-star. This podcast gets me pumped for each and every SEC game. As a Razorback fan, I can relate to Cousin Shane's frustration as a Tennessee fan. In all seriousness, this is a great show, and the way they analyze the game as normal guys is fun to listen to. Keep up the good work, fellas. Well, Hammer It Down, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for appreciate that one.
All right, next one comes from Miles 88. What keeps me motivated? 5-star. As a law student, I don't get much time to watch or listen to much because I'm reading about people getting hurt, screwed over, or killed. Oh, but every morning on the way to school, I listen to this podcast to get me ready for the weekend, which is dedicated to SEC football. Thanks to Michael and Shane for keeping me sane. Go Cats. Miles, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate that one.
Next one comes from M.M. Stevens. 5-star. Time to go round the league. My go-to podcast every morning, from Shane cracking a cold one every episode to the bloopers at the end. This is the best place to get all the news from around the SEC. Keep up, Mike and Shane. Stevens, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I need to. We probably should read these before I start cracking open the cold ones. You know what I'm saying? But
that's probably a good idea.
Next one. Go Irish 2323. 5 stars, but go Irish. Five stars. 5 stars, but go Irish. Go Irish. Well, I appreciate you. Sorry about last weekend. I tell you what, I am surprised that Notre Dame hung in there as much as they did. I mean, they got a better ball club than I thought. So I apologize for bashing the Irish there. Plus, they came out with the ad in the paper. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one comes from Mad Dash. Real quick, 5-star. Just want to say I was blessed the day my twin brother turned me onto this podcast. It helps break up the monotony of driving all day for work. Thanks for all the hard work Mike and Shane puts into. Go Dogs. Well, Mad Dash and your twin, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, that's 2 for the price of 1 right there.
Mike Pavey, 5-star. This is what you're looking for. Shane's beer cracks keep me going during the week when I listen around 6:30 every morning. Good stuff, guys. Mike, I appreciate you. Don't drink at 5 in the morning. I'm not there yet. Next one comes from Vols. 2222. Old Vols for new. 5-star. 5-star hearts. You guys are the best. Sometimes when I've had a hard day at work, I come home, put some popcorn on the stove, and get my PJs and put the headphones on to find my happy place. So glad the season is finally here and we get new episodes daily. It was a long season, long off season. I began to create Shane and Mike puppets out of... Oh, God, it's one of those. Shane and Mike puppets out of old socks and milk cartons. I don't know what y'all look like, so I imagine Mike as a pirate and Shane as an old-timey Revolutionary War soldier. I practiced several episodes mouthing y'all's parts and finally perfected one of the episodes in May. I put it online and received too many cease and desist letters, so I removed it, but I am still in talks with Netflix and PBS. Keep up the good work. Do you think you could devote an episode to your appearance? Mike, do you have both your eyes? Shane, do you shoot right-handed? Just curious.
Well, Shane, we certainly do have the best fans that come up with the most creative reviews. I have to give them that.
Absolutely. Last one here. This one comes from DLP2043. Best podcast, period. 5-star. I look forward to listening to this podcast every day. These guys helped me start my morning. I was caught laughing out loud in traffic the other day. Lady just kept staring at me. Cousin Shane makes you laugh. Seriously, great show, y'all, and keep up the great work. Roll Tide, roll. Well, DLP, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all for all those awesome reviews. That really helps the show out. If you haven't done it yet, give us a 5-star hearts rate and review. That really helps the podcast out. And, you know, it goes a long way to all the work we put in. We just appreciate all the feedback we get from you guys.
Absolutely. I appreciate all y'all. Yeah. Mike, what is with us today. Jeez Louise. It's more me. Maybe I'm rubbing off on you. I don't know what it is. Guys, I apologize. I'm gonna be back on my game tomorrow. I promise.
All right, Shane. Yeah, we got to finish strong with a good picks podcast. I'm ready for another weekend of SEC action, Shane. I think that's going to do it for this one. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
Happy trails.